Remember that we don't have to depend on nobody else but the Lord. And we know the Lord is not going to let us down. All righty. For the next few minutes, let's back to Colossians chapter 4. But where my subject is going to come from today is going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. But in Colossians chapter 4, it speaks of grace. It speaks of where the Galatians have lost their blessings. And yet, we can lose our blessings if we don't watch it. But we need to remember that what we need to do, we need to always have our mind set on none other than Jesus Christ. And if we do that, then we will never be thinking, we won't be thinking of something else that will cause us to sin against God. But here in chapter 4 of Galatians, in chapter 4, says, it's in verse 17, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them.
Honey, where are you at? You said Colossians first. And then you said,
Galatians. That's right, it's going to be in Colossians.
Where are we at? Colossians.
Oh, okay, I got one. He said Galatians. Chapter 4, I think he said, but he didn't say what day.
Yeah, I did. I'm sorry. All right. Well,
which verse?
Let's go back to chapter 1, chapter 1, verse 23. Chapter 1 of Colossians. Chapter 1 and verse 23. And it says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereby I, Paul, am made a minister. And over here in chapter 2, we see where we need to teach people that they need to be rooted, they need to be grounded in the Word of God. And in verse, let's see. Verse 4. And this I say, chapter 2 and verse 4 of Colossians. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your orders and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therefore with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of man, after the remnant of the world, and not after Christ. In chapter 3, in verse 3, it says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." We need to remember that the Lord has set forth for each one of us a great responsibility to the unsaved. The unsaved, the only thing that they, on whether we hear the word, is if we take it to them, and if we give them what the Bible says. Now, when we give them what the Bible says, then, and only then, will he bless us. Knowing that of the Lord, ye shall receive the rewards of his inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. That's found in chapter 3, in verse 24. Okay. Now, we'll get into the lesson today, but the responsibility we have as Christians, and God has laid upon us a great responsibility. And I know that some people, they don't want to have the responsibility. But I believe before the Lord Jesus will bless the church, bless the people that's in the church, the people have got to be indebted to him. They got to know what he done. And what did he do? He went all the way to Calvary. And up at Long Golgotha, he goes out. He would head the cross on his back. And it weighted him down. And he made a few of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of the holiday of the new moon and of the Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. The body is of Christ. Here in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, in chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. And by and my state shall declare unto you who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your state and comfort your hearts. For I bear him record, verse 13, for I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas, greet you, salute the brother which are in Laodicea and Naples, and the church which is in his house. And when the epistle is read among you, call that it may be read also in the church of the Laodicea, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. The last verse here, verse 18, says, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds, grace with you. Amen. The book of Ephesians really the whole book, you know, it teaches us about what we must do for the non-Christian and the responsibility that we have as Christians and as people where God loves us and God has taught us the things to do. But a changed life comes from the transformation that God works is in us through the gospel. As we put off the old life and renew in our mind and put on the new life in Christ. The changed life begins by coming to know Christ personally. We need to know him personally. And that's what we need to allow the people to hear from us on different thoughts. And that they must hear from us the different lines and what we are doing, especially for the lost sinner. And it, I tell you now, that is a hard thing to do when we learn Christ. He is saying that you are coming to know Christ, Jesus Christ personally. And life begins when you hear Christ and believe you are listening to the Holy Spirit. We know that God the Father by himself. He cannot save anybody. And we know ourselves too, that Jesus Christ, of all that was put on him, and then him going to Golgotha and then buried, hung on the tree and on the cross, and then was buried. You know, that right there can give us some type of sense of hope and learning. But you know, it's talks about changed life. Begins by coming to know Christ personally. And it does. We have to know Jesus Christ personally, ourselves, before we can go out and be a witness to the lost, to where the Lord Jesus will bless us in what we do for him. What we must do for Jesus is what Jesus done for us. We need to go and sacrifice some things. We need to go and say, I give up. I surrender, Lord. I surrender everything to you. I cannot do nothing. But as long as you help me, I'll do it your way. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to do it his way. That's the only way we can ever get to the point of seeing other people in church and seeing other people saved by the grace of God. And Paul describes a changed life in four ways. A changed life begins when you learn Christ. He is saying that you are coming to know Christ personally. Changed life begins when you hear Christ. As believers, you are listening to salvation in only one Jesus Christ. There are not many Jesuses, like some people want them, that you think. There's only but one. And God told you exactly who he is. He is the only begotten Son of God. And his name is Jesus Christ. And we must realize that. A changed life begins when you know the truth that is in Jesus. The true salvation is only in Jesus Christ. John chapter 14 verse 6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The changed life requires putting a changed life requires putting off the old man. Changed life The changed life requires putting off the old man. The phrase old man refers to us all that we were before we were saved. Our old self was crucified with Christ. We are no longer slaves to sin. The change life requires being renewed in the spirit of your mind. God does the renewing as we so the required life for Christian is to live the Christian life. And how do you live the Christian life? You can't live a Christian life and not come to church. Because it's in God's book. It commands us to be in a house of the Lord. It does not command us to be out there in the middle of 58 ideas. It does not command us to be out here on the parking lot. It commands us to be in the house of the Lord and to love the house of the Lord. We must love it. If we don't love the house of the Lord, we need to check up. We need to go back to when we made the decision. What decision did we make? And was it legitimate? But a change of life requiring being renewed in spirit and in the mind. God does a renewing as we obey Him and by filling our heart and mind with His Word. When the Spirit of God opens a person's mind to the truth revealed in His Word, the truth will result in changed emotions and changed will. A changed life requires for us to explain to the individual that what they must do with the new man. The changed life requires putting on the new man. The old man, the son of, lives for himself. And now the new man lives for Christ, wants to be involved with the local church. Change life that is obvious to others. Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of Him that are created Him. As Christians, we know that God has changed our hearts and lives. Now we should live for Christ, to know Him and serve Him. We are to know the new creatures in Christ Jesus living for the righteousness and the holiness which come from His truth, and that is in Jesus. The gospel is meant to change the heart. We have a great responsibility, and God has put that on us. We didn't go out and work for it, but God put it on us to where we can teach the people as they come to church how they must act in church. That they don't come into church with a drink and with something to eat. They don't come into church that way. And they don't come into church. And I noticed too here on the grounds here, there we don't have anybody right now that I know that comes on these grounds here that smokes. And we don't need it. We don't need it. What does smoking remind you of? What does your mind remind you of? It reminds me of that dirty, filthy man that was over there in the hog pen. But he finally come to his senses and let the hog pen go. Oh yes, I used to smoke years ago. And I prayed the Lord to help me quit, and he did. But I'll tell you one day, it's the best thing I've ever done in my life. Because I didn't have no testimony for the Lord then. And smoking, you can't have a testimony for the Lord in drinking wine and doing all the things that you do. Go to Walmart on Sunday and go here and there and everywhere and do what you want to do. It don't work that way. We have to realize what Jesus has done for us. He gave his life. His life. He was walking around, breathing, talking to people. But he didn't stop there. He went all the way what him and his father had talked about. There. In heaven. I mean, I tell you, but we do, we have a great responsibility. And you know, when all's said and done, when all is said and done, if we've come up to where people are, and the Lord has spoke to us a few moments, and we see somebody that we know, we don't know if they're in church or what. Well, then we say, well, I can't wait around them much longer. They're talking to somebody and I don't want to bother them. And then we'll just go on our way. Go on our way home. You know something? Somebody's got to give an answer. Somebody's got to give an answer to God. Why did an individual didn't get saved? Think about that. Why somebody did not get saved? That is something that will blow your mind if we really got down to it and thought about it and what the scripture says in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and what the prophets said in the Old Testament, and what the disciples said in the New Testament, it will blow our mind. See, if they are not here to do it anymore, Paul's not here to go out and knock on doors. Even the Lord Jesus Christ is not here anymore to where he can go out and knock on doors and lead somebody to the Lord, or go to the well and pull up that bucket of water and then see a harlot right there. We don't have Jesus to do that anymore. He has put all of that on us. He has laid that burden on us. And we've got to do something. And if we don't do it, it's not going to get done. And what the Lord wants us to do. Our Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, help us that we can be teachers of your word to the Christians, Father, to the new Christians that don't really know how to come to serve you, Father. But Father, yes, this is your house. And the reason your house was built, Father, is because of your Son. And what your Son done there at Calvary. I'm so thankful that he gave his life for my life. I'm thankful, Father, that he gave his life for my wife's life, for my daughter's life, and for the other individuals here tonight, this morning, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for touching each one of them and letting them know that the only way that we can ever be satisfied in our heart is do things the right way. Father, now we ask God you go with us today. As the people that we come in contact with, family, friends, co-workers, or who it is, Father, just put a word there on our mind and on our heart, Father, that we can share to the people that we come in contact with. And Father, that they may see Jesus living in our life. Amen and amen.